Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where is the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butts.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili, baby back rib.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
Whoopsie! This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s. Sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities. Just grown children. Here's your hosts, Tom Skull and Jim Doubt.
So that's actually how I found out unicorns weren't a real animal. Kind of weird.
What town were you kicked out of last week?
Oh, Battle Creek, Michigan. Can't go
That's
there.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of unicorns in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Well, no. Maybe. I'm not allowed to go there, and someone told me they're not real.
There used to be until you started selling their horns.
They're worth a lot of money, Jim.
Do what you gotta do, Thomas. Thomas Sugar Tom Skull.
That's right. Caboodles, whatever. Hey, everyone, hello! This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Oh, that beautiful voice you hear, that's Jim. Hello?
Thank you. I've been getting over a cold. Thank you.
It doesn't show. It really doesn't.
Right. I feel like very white. Go on.
Yeah. I'm Tom, and we're coming to you live from spare bedroom studio still. Still got kicked down to the basement.
Not yet. Crawl Space Studios.
Oh, no, not yet. Not yet. Still got a... I got a little work to do in that room still. Mm. So, Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's new, huh?
Let's see. We did sort of like a Valentine's Day thing over the weekend.
Who did?
Just went out to dinner. That was a real treat.
You and the wife?
Nice. Yes. Yeah, me and my wife. My girlfriend and I are doing it on Valentine's Day. My wife and I did it over the weekend.
Oh, that's good. You know, you gotta split time, you know.
Well, it's priorities.
Right.
No, my wife and I went to this French restaurant over the weekend.
Ooh, fancy.
Very lovely.
Yeah, what did you
eat?
Well,
it's a French restaurant in Cleveland, so let's
eat snails? I think it was last time you talked about going to a sushi restaurant. So now Cleveland has a sushi restaurant and a French restaurant?
It's the same restaurant.
Okay.
It's Japanese French hybrid.
Hold on. I got to kill a spider. That's the room I'm in right now. Got him. Oh, now I'm going to get PETA all on our butts here. Sorry. This is my house. All right. So same restaurant. Oh, cool. So did you get a French sushi roll then?
I got sautéed rabbit.
Ooh. You know what? We had braised rabbit one time. It was really good.
It was really good.
Yeah,
it was really good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I figured the rabbit's already dead. They didn't kill it for me. I'm going to go ahead and eat this rabbit. It was very good.
Good stuff.
Yeah. How about you, buddy? What are you... How was your weekend? Enough about me.
My weekend was fine. We had some friends over on Saturday, played some board games. I had a friend and his wife from a friend of mine from work, and his wife came over, and a friend of my wife's friend came over also with her husband, and the kids came. So it was like an adult fun thing. We had kids to be able to play, and then we could hang out. I felt a lot like my parents. It was kind of weird.
You guys have so many friends. What's that feel like?
No, we don't really. These are the only people we know. Oh, we know a lot of people. These are the only people willing to hang out with us, I should say. No, we played this, you ever played the logo game? It's a board game? And just based on logos?
No,
it's totally up yours and I alley, because it's just, we know so much useless knowledge about, like, the Tide logo. Or, like, like Nestle Quick. You know, it was a lot of fun. We did that, and then we, once the beer started going really good, we broke out the Cards Against Humanity, and that gets a little crazy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love that game.
It's a great game. You always gotta, like, when you bring people over, you gotta, like, ease into that, because you never know what kind of crowd you got.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really play that with... One time we played that with my parents. That was weird.
Oh, I would never do that.
That was totally weird.
And your parents have a great sense of humor, but I would definitely not do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know how great it is anymore. They're getting old, you know, but... Oh, how was your day? Jim, we're recording this on Monday. How was your Monday?
The 13th. Monday the 13th before Valentine's Day.
Yes, yes. Did you have a nice Monday?
It was a Monday. It was a long Monday. I went to work early, stayed late. It was a long day. Oh. But last night was the Grammys. Did you watch the Grammys?
I did watch this shit show. Can I call that a shit sandwich? I worked it in there again. A shit sandwich of a show.
So what'd you think of it?
Adele was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's a shit sandwich. The shit was in the middle. Adele opened and closed the show.
Yes.
And everything...
And I feel like it was the only artist... who can stop her performance and restart it, and everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah, and get a standing ovation. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And rightfully so. I'm not knocking it in any way. Yeah. I'm just saying she's about the only...
Okay, I'm recording again. So, we had a little technical problem there.
Oh, what's the technical problem?
Nothing. So, Adele at the Grammys. Adele at the Grammys.
That's where we're back. Okay.
Yeah. I'm leaving this in. I'm totally leaving this in. Anyway, yeah. So you were saying before we were cut off.
About 15 minutes ago. Right. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, she's the only, like you said, she's the only person that could screw up a song, stop, and then get a standing ovation anyway.
Yeah. I mean, she did a great job. I think she won 5 Grammys, and... She was, her acceptance speeches were great, and she was really praising the Beyonce, and, I mean, she was very, very classy. Very classy gal.
Yeah, I don't think she needs to praise the Beyonce.
I would agree with you that one.
Let's address the weird thing in the room. What was that? What did we watch?
I think Anna Kendrick tweeted that she now understands the end of the OA.
I did see that today, and that was funny.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick doesn't tweet anything that's not hilarious.
Right.
Well,
either do we, Jim.
That's also true for anybody who doesn't follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, please follow us on
Twitter. We're very, very funny people.
Tom and Jim's Top 5 on the Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like Beyonce so much. It's not my type of music. I don't really care for her so much. It's like
you know,
her baby picture was put to a 9-minute music video and made less sense
with a voiceover. We were doing laundry last night. I was folding laundry. I wanted to watch the Grammys because Metallica, which was one of my favorite bands, was performing with Lady Gaga, and I was very impressed by Lady Gaga's performance at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I really was. I thought that was freaking awesome. And so I'm like, oh, cool. I've seen Metallica live many times. It's an awesome show. So I'm like, I'm going to stay up and watch that. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the Beyonce thing came on, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. We were folding clothes in the living room. I'm like, I'm just going to go put these away because I don't care. I go put clothes away, and felt like a couple minutes I was gone. I come back, and she still hasn't sat down in that stupid chair yet. Like, she's still walking down the thing, and there's just a voiceover. And I asked my wife, I'm like, has anything happened? She goes, no, nothing's happened yet. I'm like, what is this? Yet they'll cut off an excited, that rapper who won Best New Artist, how excited he was.
Yeah.
They cut him off after 3 seconds of his acceptance speech, but you get... pregnant Beyonce and the whole world has to shut down, and I don't understand.
I don't either. I'm totally with you. I think did you send me the picture a couple maybe last week that was the girl from Napoleon Dynamite taking the picture of Beyonce pregnant? It's just like a terrible glamour shots picture at the mall.
Photo, yeah, it's like she went to Sears.
Yeah, right. And let's go back, because you mentioned Chance the Rapper winning Best New Artist. He's amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a record label. and he's had three albums out, hence the three New Era Had to Be Wears.
Yeah.
And they've all been put out on SoundCloud for free download.
Yeah.
And he's never released an actual album on iTunes or anything. I mean, and to win Best New Artist as an independent artist.
He won two Grammys, I believe. Didn't he win two Grammys last name?
I think he did, yeah. Yeah, actually, I know he did, yeah.
Yeah. And he performed, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and 21 Pilots are awesome.
They're awesome too.
Did you see when they accepted Without Pants?
Yes, that was super cool. I'm like, I saw that when they first were taking their pants off. I'm like, Dana, what is going on? And they get up there and they tell that story, which that story was absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
How cool is that? And you're sitting there with your buddies, and they're like, well, if we ever win one of these, this is how we're gonna accept it. That was the coolest story. And if that didn't, like, almost bring a tear to your eye, I don't know, you'd have no soul. That
is
awesome.
Yeah, and I listened to, we're not even getting to our numbers here, we're just talking. I listened to a Rolling Stone podcast on 21 Pilots. It was so cool. They talked about, they're from Columbus, Ohio, and they talked about being raised in a very orthodox religious environment. So they didn't really listen to music, they weren't allowed to, and it was a very strict household. So neither one of those guys has any musical background or formal training. They just did it.
Yeah.
And they're great at it. And I watched a live performance on like MTV Live or something of them. And the drummer took like this piece of plywood, and they put a drum kit on the plywood and let the crowd like hold onto it. And then he got on it, and they like passed him playing the drums over the crowd. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was
nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
I would love to see him live.
Yeah, I would too. I hope they come near me so I can see them. So the one thing I wanted to watch the Grammys. I'm not that big on award shows. I end up watching them because I think it's just something you do on a Sunday night anyway when the Oscars or Emmys and stuff are on, and the Grammys. But I was like, I want to see Metallica perform, and they're gonna perform one of their new songs from their new album, which their new album is absolutely awesome, and they get on there. And James Hetfield's mic doesn't even freaking work.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did they screw that up? There was other... Maybe we noticed more miss... Because we used to be in TV, so we noticed things that happened. But it's a live show. Bad things are going to happen. But, like, there was a lot of mess-ups and stuff. But how did that... And to go on for a minute into the song was still with no microphone.
Yeah.
That was absolutely horrible.
Yeah. But Lady Gaga was awesome. Metallica was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man. That'd be sweet if they toured together, wouldn't it? I'd go see that.
I did notice, and I don't watch the Grammys every year, but it seemed to me that it was more country music-centric this year than it has been in the past.
Which is weird, because they have their own
country
show. Yeah.
Yeah, they have their own award show. Not that I don't hate country music. I just don't love country music. But it just seemed like they're really gunning for that country music audience. A lot of the announcers and collaborations were all country this year, so I thought that was kind of different.
Well, we live in a new America right now, Jim, so maybe that has something to do with it. Anyway, let's not get into that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about our last week's show. Jim, we got a ton of feedback. Like, more than we ever had.
Positive?
Okay, sure. Yeah, no, we did. No, it was... I think I can speak for both of us. Going into that show, we were a little nervous about how to make after-school snacks sound interesting on a podcast. I was. I was like, this is going to be bad. And we wanted to do it because people voted for it and stuff, and I'm all for that. That's awesome. So I'm like, for sure we're going to do it. And I found those commercials and stuff. I'm going to put those into – and I don't even think we needed them.
Awesome.
That show was so much fun. We both got off the thing like, that was our best show. Like, we were all excited.
Yeah, actually, that one just felt good, Tom.
It felt good. You know what? I could have said something gross there. I'm not going to say it. Anyway.
Were you going to say you feel good?
Maybe.
Well, I moisturized. So.
Nice. But yeah, we got a lot of feedback from our show. We actually have a fan or two, which is weird. They were like, when's your next show? When's your next show? People are wanting us to do more than... We do a show every 2 weeks. They're like, we can't wait that long. We want it once a week. I'm like, well, I mean, what do you want me to do? Quit my job?
My friend Tom Anderson called me tonight when I was leaving work.
Name drop.
Asking me why we didn't already record already because you wanted to listen to it tonight.
Yeah. Well, I guess we were misleading on Twitter and Facebook. I said, hey, you know, new show on February 13th. Well, we were going to record it, you know, at February the night. So I should have just said it comes out on the 14th. But whatever. Anyway, Tom, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
He is one of our biggest fans. But no, people think we're funny, which I don't understand. I said, who wants to listen to us? We're just two morons talking about absolutely nothing.
Hence why we've been talking for 20 minutes and haven't actually gotten to what we're
It's been 15, shut
talking
up.
About.
Well, real quick, real quick, Jim, where can people contact us? Let's get that out of the way.
Pretty much all forms of social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. They can Google us. We're on Stitcher and Podbean and iTunes and
Google,
Gmail, pretty much everything.
Yeah, Gmail, everything. So yeah, we're starting to get a few more followers on Twitter and stuff. So that's cool. Speaking of, I put out there that we're going to be doing rom-coms, you know, and get, you know, send us your favorite rom-coms. And we got a little shout out from it's a website called notanothermillennial.com, and they said, hey, we did a rom-com story, and they had an article. You can go back to them, and they did it was dating advice from 80s rom-coms, and it's really cool. It was from August 26th. It's on their website. Go back and look at it. It's really neat. It kind of, you know, so really, I just, you know, told them thanks for listening, and so they're fans of the show, so we appreciate that. So we thought we'd give them a little shout out here. So, but yeah, notanothermillennial.com. Jim, did you check out that story?
I did, actually. It was very good.
Very cool. Very cool. There were, and the person who wrote to me, whoever, you know, was like, hope you have, our rom-coms on your list. And and you guys know me, I love the 80s movies. I said, well, there'll be at least one 80s movie on there. So
at least.
Well, let's get into it, Jim. Our top five romantic comedies, or as Jim likes to coin the phrase, rom-coms. And I'm saying you started that phrase. I'm sure you didn't, but I'm saying you did.
I would like to think I did, but I probably didn't.
You probably did. but real quick, our stipulation was, because a lot of people were like, you got to do this one, you got to do this one. And we said it cannot be like high school or college related, like She's All That, or 10 Things I Hate About You. That's a big one. Everyone's like, you got to have 10 things I hate about it. And I agree. Love that movie. But we decided we're going with just not those movies. We're going with romantic comedies. Without a high school element, right?
Yeah, and I might have screwed that up,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I'm sure you screwed it up.
Because one of my picks, I didn't really think of as a high school movie, but they are in high school.
Well, we'll talk about it. You can argue the case.
So, basically, I'm playing my list like I play Scrabble, Tom. I'm making my choice, and if nobody calls me out on it, then I'm going to get a triple word score.
Mm-hmm. So you're making words up. Got it.
Yeah, basically.
Well, let's just get into it. Jim, let's start with your number five.
My number five is... it's a 2003 Christmas movie. It just didn't make my Christmas movie list.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's Love Actually.
Actually?
From
it is.
Aught 3.
Nice.
Christmas-themed rom-com. You've seen Love Actually, correct?
Yes, I have. It's a very good movie.
I think everyone has seen Love Actually. Yeah. And... or have been forced to watch it and realize that it's actually a fairly good movie. I watched
movie.
It this Christmas for the first time in a few years and forgot how funny it actually is. It was written and directed by Richard Curtis, who's known for a lot of other rom-coms like Four Weddings and a Funeral, Bridget Jones' Diary, Notting Hill, the classic ones. And it was mostly filmed in London.
Mm-hmm.
It begins 5 weeks before Christmas and plays out in a weekly countdown until the holiday, followed by an epilogue with 10 different interwoven storylines of a lot of very large actors. Many of them are British. My favorite one was Billy Mack, the musician.
Yeah.
That he's hilarious. And then Keira Knightley's storyline is really good with Andrew Lincoln, who ends up going on to do The Walking Dead.
Yes.
That's a great one. Hugh Grant's role as the Prime Minister is really good. Martin Freeman, who's brilliant. He goes on to do, Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock.
He was known for that, and he did some movies with Simon Pegg. Mm-hmm. And it seems like British actors, there's only like 12 of them, and they're just in everything, but they're all great.
They're all great.
He's one of them.
Right.
And his storyline, he and Judy, the girl, his romantic partner, are professional body doubles for adult films. They stand in and do the lighting for adult films, which is awesome. So, Love Actually, it's a classic. Everybody loves that movie. How can you not love it?
I love that movie. It's not on my list, but there's a scene in there where they sing All You Need Is Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the wedding in the movie. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when my wife and I got married, my uncle sings in a band, and we had him sing at our wedding. And after we got married, we were walking down the aisle the other way. You know, he got everyone to sing that song as we walked out. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
And we got that from that movie because it's awesome. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So that was I like that one, Jim. That's a good one. I'm starting to really think that you and my wife have the same taste in movies. It's really weird. So, but I just like, before I go into my number five, this has made my wife so happy that we picked this category, because I had to watch 2 weeks straight of rom-coms. So, which, you know, I like them. I do. I like them. But I want to say I was rom-commed out, but I really am not, because I do like them a lot. I'm pretty sure my wife's, mine and her cycles are now in sync, because we've been... But anyway, so my number five, she's going to hate that I said that. Good thing she doesn't listen. My number five is from 2008. It stars Jim Carrey, Zooey Deschanel, and Bradley Cooper. And it is a movie called Yes Man.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen Yes Man, Jim?
Yeah, it's been a long time, though, probably since 08.
I love this movie. It's really good. Jim Carrey's hilarious in it. He plays... you know, the story, for those of you who don't know, is he's a guy who works at a bank, and he's divorced, and he doesn't do anything anymore. Like, his friends call him, he never wants to go out, he never answers their calls and stuff. He just rents movies and goes home and watches them, and he's just not living life. And he gets a former co-worker of his, runs into him and says, "You got to be a yes man, you got to come to the seminar." And he goes to the seminar, and this guy says, you just got to start saying yes to life, and you just, whatever opportunity comes to you, you start saying yes, and he just figures, what the hell do I have to lose? I'm just going to start saying yes to everything, which, of course, has some hiccups in it. If you think about it, you're going to say yes to everything that comes to you. But it's based on an autobiographical book written by Danny Wallace, who's a British author. He's also a producer and journalist, but he spent a year answering yes to any given question or proposal and recording the results. And he wrote a book about it. So that's what the premise, you know, the movie's based off of. He actually makes a cameo in the movie too, but no one knows who Danny Wallace is. So he, you know, his family probably recognized him, but no one, he's in the bar scene. But anyway, so it's really cool. And then, so throughout the movie, Jim Carrey starts saying yes. Well, then he, along the way, he meets Zooey Deschanel, who's kind of a really eccentric... Well, she just basically plays herself. You know,
yeah,
she's
right.
Really...
Weird. She plays somebody quirky and
weird.
Strange.
Yeah. And so that's really cool. And then, you know, they end up having a relationship together. Bradley Cooper plays his best friend. And so he just starts saying yes to everything. And then it just gets weird, because at one point he gets an email at work. It says, you know, it's like PersianWifeFinder.com, you know, just like a junk mail. And he's like, yes, I do want to meet, you know, whatever. And so, like, he has to say yes to every little thing. And so it just gets crazy. There's one scene, though, he bungee jumps. Someone says, you should go bungee jumping. So he says, yes. And Jim Carrey performed his own bungee jump stunt. One funny thing is about his stunt was the final scene filmed for the movie because the insurance company who was underwriting the film and the actors said they won't let him do it. They're not going to let him do it. And they said if he wants to do it or if he's going to do it, they had to agree that both parties had to film the whole movie except for that scene. And then he could do it, and they had to film it in one take, so they had 8 cameras going the whole time. And basically, wow. They just said, the insurance company said, just film the movie in case you die, so we can still put the movie out. So that's nice, yeah. But he did it, and he was uninjured. He's still alive. And, yeah. So he also, Jim Carrey is somewhat of a method actor, so he actually said yes to everything he needed. Like, he has to learn guitar in the movie, but so Jim Carrey actually went and learned guitar. He learned to speak Korean. He learned to ride a Ducati motorbike. He learned to bungee jump. And so, yeah, there wasn't much he actually said no to. He actually did almost everything. So it was kind of, yeah, it's kind of cool. But it's a really fun movie. It's one of my favorite scenes is there's a guy gonna jump a jumper on the, to leap off a building and kill himself. And someone says, someone's got to help him. And so Jim Carrey goes up there and helps him, and he sees the guy has a guitar in his apartment, so he grabs a guitar and he starts playing, because he just learned guitar, and he starts playing Jumper by Third Eye Blind, and yeah. Which I love that song.
Absolutely. We're gonna go see him this summer.
Yeah, you said it. So, and he ends up saving him and stuff, and yeah, so it's a fun movie. I like it a lot. There's a cool scene where he sings a Beatles song, Can't Buy Me Love, at the Hollywood Bowl. They sneak into the Hollywood Bowl, and they get chased out by security, but it's a really, really cool scene. Another weird fact, Jim Carrey and Zooey Deschanel actually share the same birthday, January 17th, but they're 18 years apart, exactly. So I was thinking that makes it kind of weird when they're 18 years apart in the movie, but it doesn't establish ages or anything in the movie, so it works, but... And it's funny, not a lot of people know this movie. It was made for $70 million. It actually made over $223 million worldwide. That's a big success for a movie that people don't... You think no one's really seen it, you know? So, that's all I got.
I mean, when you named off Zooey Deschanel and Bradley Cooper...
Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
And Jim Carrey, I couldn't think of a movie that they were all in together.
Right, yeah. Bradley Cooper just plays the friend. He's got he's got a pretty good part in it. Danny Masterson from That 70s Show is his other buddy in it.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious. Yeah.
Do you know, his sister is in The Walking Dead, and he has another sibling who's an actor, too. And they are all Scientologists.
Are we going to do a Scientology show someday?
We probably should discuss that at some point, but that's where I was going to leave it, is that they are Scientologists.
We'll do a top 5 craziest things to come out of Scientology.
Oh, God.
You know what? Well, they'll end up finding us. And anyway, I don't want... Anyway, so, anyway, Yes Man, it's a really good movie. They either like Jim Carrey or they don't. When he gets into serious movies, a lot of people don't care for it. But the guy's a really good actor. And this is...
Oh,
this
yeah. Show's did you see The Majestic?
See, I love The Majestic. And The Truman Show. And, yeah, he acts so well. But I think everyone just wants him as Ace Ventura or The Mask. You know, and it's like, no, the guy can act, man. So,
yeah, he's a great actor.
Well, cool. Yeah, well, go out there and watch it. We own it. My wife loves the movie, too, so it's a good one. We watched that one. I laughed through the whole thing, so.
You did some great stuff on that movie.
Thank you very much. Well, my copy and paste research really paid off. Thanks, Wikipedia. And IMDb. So number 4. My turn now, right? We're alternating again? Yeah, we always forget that. So mine is, it's an 80s movie. But it's not an 80s movie everyone knows, I don't think. It's 1987. It stars the great Hollywood couple of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Oh, can I guess?
Yes.
Is it Overboard?
Yes, it is!
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, God, we love this movie. My mom used to watch this all the time when I was younger. That's how I got into this movie. And I love Kurt Russell. He's one of my favorite.
It's the only
actors.
Reason I knew what Poison Oak is.
What's that?
It's the only reason I knew what Poison Oak is.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Did you ever get Poison Oak, Jim?
No, I never got Poison Oak.
It's not fun. Anyway, so this is directed in... oh, sorry. I just hit the table. That just hurt my finger. It's broke. Okay. It's directed by Gary Marshall. And Gary Marshall obviously has tons of rom-com movies. That's his wheelhouse. But the story, for those of you who don't know, is Joanna Slayton, who's played by Goldie Hawn. She's a wealthy woman, like really wealthy, hires a carpenter, Dean, who's played by Kurt Russell, to work on her yacht. And she refuses to pay him, he leaves in a huff, and, you know, she's like, I'm not paying you, and he's, you know, so they get in a fight, because she's basically a stuck-up bitch, rich bitch in this movie. And soon after he leaves, she accidentally hits her head or whatever and falls from the boat and gives her amnesia. And her husband, who's also a big jerk, because it's her money, he's like, oh, I'm leaving because I'm going to inherit all the money. So he takes off in her big yacht. And Kurt Russell's character jumps in and saves her. But he decides, because he's mad at her because she was so mean to him, he's like, I'm going to get revenge on her because his wife established his wife died and he's got these three boys at home. And he's like, he convinces her that her name is Anna. And they're married, and these are his three children who are hellions, you know. And so he basically uses it as her servant. He brings it, you know, so she cleans the house, cooks, and takes care of the boys and stuff. But along the way, they fall in love. And eventually, then her husband, her real husband, comes back, and her memories return. She goes back to her life, you know, but she realizes she doesn't even like that life. And then she leaves and goes back to Dean anyway. So it's a, you know, it's a very happy ending at the end. But I love this movie. This movie, the funny thing about Kurt Russell's character, Dean, he, like, his whole obsession in the movie was, but he wanted to make the coolest mini golf course. Remember this? Like, he was just had all these designs to make, and he does make it. It has a, you know, big volcano, but it's like, it just seems like a very odd, not very, like, good way to support a family, you know. But anyway, they do make it. It's cool. Remember our Christmas movie episode? We talked about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and you know, in the beginning of that movie, when they're going to find a tree, and they're getting tailgated by those two like redneck hicks in the truck.
Yeah.
Well, that truck is the same truck that Kurt Russell's character drives in Overboard. Which was made 2 years earlier.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is the third movie that Goldie Hawn, the real life couple, and they're still married today, that Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn made together. This is the third of, they did three movies in the 80s together. This was the last one they did. Gary Marshall actually says this is still one, he thinks this is the one of the funniest pictures he's ever made, which is weird because he's made tons of movies, but he loves this one. Kurt Russell says that this movie and his other movie, Captain Ron, are the two movies everyone seems to have on their boats.
So I'm like, Captain Ron.
Oh, I love Captain Ron.
Wow.
Yeah. During filming, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, you know, they had kids and stuff, so they'd bring the kids, and then they encouraged all the other crew members and stuff to bring their families, and they would host barbecues, like, each week of filming and celebrate with the families and stuff. So... But yeah, I love this movie, and I credit my mom for getting me into this movie. It was like so cool. It's just one of those that would be on cable and stuff, and you'd watch it, and it's an awesome movie.
I have a picture I took of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn at the Oscars 3 years ago.
Nice.
Wait, yeah,
you were at
it.
The Oscars?
I was at the Oscars in, I think it was 2014.
On purpose? Why were you there?
I did the red carpet at the Oscars. Did you not know I was at the Oscars?
No. The only thing you told me, the only thing I ever listened to you when you talk about work, because I nod off usually, you were at Comic-Con one time. And I was zoned in on that conversation. I listened to every word you said.
Yeah.
No, you said something about the Super Bowl once too, but I didn't really.
I did the Super Bowl, I did the Super Bowl 49, but I also did the Academy Awards. I did the red carpet. When Dallas Buyers Club won and Ellen hosted.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Did Ellen dance?
I don't know. I wasn't inside. I didn't go inside.
Oh, they didn't. That's for the glitterati. They don't want you in there.
No, no. I was definitely the bottom feeder of the media on the red carpet.
Did you wear a tux?
Yeah, you had to.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to run a tux, or they wouldn't let you on.
Did you have to pay for it, or did your company pay for it?
Oh, my company paid for it.
Oh, good, good. Seems like something
yeah,
just...
But at the time, I was in Phoenix, so it's only like a 5, maybe a 6-hour drive to L.A.
Nice.
And I worked for an ABC channel, so
Well, all right, then. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm Kurt Russell'd out. Actually, I never will be. I love that man. But let's go on to your number 4, Jim.
My number 4 is a 2005 movie, and it's also a Christmas movie, ironically.
Wow.
Starring Diane Keaton, Craig T. Nelson, a.k.a. The Coach.
Ooh, I love The Coach.
Sarah Jessica Parker, a.k.a. the other girl from Sex and the City. Luke Wilson, Claire Danes, and Rachel McAdams. You know what it is?
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on the other girl from Sex and the City. You know, the other girl.
The other one.
Not Samantha.
The one who's not in Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, with Kurt Russell.
With Kurt Russell. See, full circle, Thomas.
What's your movie, Jim?
The Family Stone.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Never seen it.
You never seen
no,
it?
No, I have. Film? I'm just messing. No, I have. I have seen it. I have seen it once.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Sarah Jessica Parker is like an uptight girlfriend who goes back to meet the family for Christmas, and it doesn't go well. It's your classic like misfortune meeting the family story, and Luke Wilson is like the stoner, burned out brother, and Sarah Jessica Parker starts to have a relationship with him. And Claire Danes is the sister, and she comes to support Sarah Jessica Parker. And then her boyfriend, Dermot Mulroney, I guess. I think that's how you say his name. They start to have a thing. It's this whole convoluted love story. And then towards at the end, they do an epilogue a year later, and the siblings have swapped. So Luke Wilson is now with Sarah Jessica Parker, and vice versa. But it's more of like it's a romantic comedy. It's a very funny movie. It's like a serious one because then Diane Keaton comes down with cancer, and in the epilogue, they're celebrating her life because she had passed away over the year between Christmases. So it has kind of a dramatic twist to it.
Right, right. This is a good movie. This is one that's always on the list of Christmas movies to watch, you know, like it's since we watched like 25 of them, you know, but I like the movie. I've only seen it a couple times, but the whole thing anyway, but it's cool. And Claire Danes and Rachel McAdams, both adorable.
Who Rachel McAdams wears a Dinosaur Jr. t-shirt.
Yes.
Is awesome.
Right. Oh, Dinosaur Jr. shout out. That's pretty good.
Yeah, right?
Right. Nice. That's a good one, Jim. I like that one. I'm not a big fan of Sarah Jessica Parker, I'll be honest.
I'm not either.
I don't really get the appeal, if there is one.
I'm pretty sure there is one to a lot of people.
Do you know why I like... The only thing I like about her is that she's married to Matthew Broderick, who I love.
Right.
Right.
I was trying to figure out a way how Ferris Bueller's Day Off could be a romantic comedy, but I couldn't pull it off.
But that's high school related. Although he doesn't spend any time in the school.
Yeah, I think you skirt around that one, and hopefully I'm going to skirt around one of my future picks, which I totally forgot there in high school.
Well, let's...
And it's too late. I'm not changing it now.
No, it's too... Is it your number 3?
No, it's my number 2.
Okay, well, let's do your number 3.
My number 3 I absolutely love, and I will record it and watch it anytime I see it on TV. It's 2002, Reese Witherspoon, Josh Lucas, Patrick Dempsey, and Candace Bergen. Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love this movie. I saw it in the theater back in 2002. At the time, I was forced to see it.
You were by yourself in the theater crying.
I forced someone else to see it. I love this movie. Reese Witherspoon. I didn't even write down any notes on this movie because I know it so
well.
You
know it well. Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon is from Alabama. Her name was Melanie Smoover. Mm-hmm. She moved to New York to be a fashion designer and changes the name to Melanie Carmichael after a very prosperous family in Alabama who owned a plantation, who was Ethan Embry. Mm-hmm. It's his family, who was in a movie that should be on my list, but we outlawed it. Can't hardly wait.
We'll do another top five, Jim.
Stop yelling at me.
I'm sorry.
So Reese Witherspoon is engaged to Patrick Dempsey, who is the New York mayor's son, Candace Bergen being the mayor. The problem is she's still married to Josh Lucas in Alabama, so she's going back to get the divorce paper signed so she can marry Patrick Dempsey.
But then hilarity ensues. Yeah. Sorry.
Lots of romantic comedy happens, and they call off the wedding, and she ends up being with Josh Lucas anyway, which is what everyone wants, because he just spent his whole life trying to get her approval and starting his own business. It's just so dreamy, Tom. So dreamy.
It's touching, Jim. It's touching.
Yeah. I know. It's a great movie.
It's a good movie. I'm a fan. I like Reese Witherspoon. I like her movies. Earlier Reese Witherspoon. What's the one that she was in?
Walk the Line?
That's going too, but Ryan Phillippe. The one with, with the...
Cruel Intentions?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, I like that one. And one of the Ryans is in it. Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Phillippe, or that's just
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yeah! How could I forget? No, that's a good movie, Jim. I like that. That's another one of my. You just had to come over and watch movies with my wife because that's another one of her favorites. And I'll just sit upstairs and drink beer. Nice. Anything else on Sweet Home Alabama, Jim?
No. I just. Great movie. I recommend it.
All right. Well, my number three, and I have a hunch you might have this one on your list, but maybe not. Maybe not. We haven't shared one yet. But mine is also from the 80s. It's not an 80s movie, but it was made in it came out in 1987. And it is The Princess Bride.
Okay. So The Princess Bride, and I'm going to let you have it.
Okay.
It's on my list of movies.
Okay.
But I didn't take it because I thought it was more of an action-adventure movie than a romantic comedy. And it was very, very close, and I almost took it, but I did not.
Well, Jim, it isn't an action-adventure fantasy movie, but it also is a romantic comedy.
I am not disagreeing with you.
Okay.
I just didn't want to have to defend it.
Okay, I'm defending it.
I love that movie,
yeah.
And you go ahead with your story on that movie. Ugh. I'm not going to disagree.
Well, for those of you who are living in a cave, Princess Bride, originally adapted from a novel in 1973 by William Goldman, with the same name, it's the story of... A farmhand named Wesley, who's played by Cary Elwes, and he's accompanied and befriended by companions along the way, which include Manny Patinkin and Andre the Frickin' Giant, which is awesome. Oh, when I was a little kid, I'm like, Andre the Giant's in a movie! And and he's out to rescue his true love, Princess Buttercup, from the bad guy, Prince Humperdinck. And the story, one of the coolest parts is the story starts off in modern time. Fred Savage plays a little boy, he's in his room and he's sick, and his grandpa comes over to make him feel better. And he brings the book to read him. And so the grandpa's the narrator. The grandpa's played by Peter Falk, everyone knows him as Columbo. And then, of course, Fred Savage was big at the time on The Wonder Years. So, anyway, it's really cool because actually when I first saw it, I first saw this movie when I was homesick from school. And so it was kind of cool, like, to see that. And so, it was just really cool to see that, like, I can sit and watch movies because this kid gets to listen to a story about the movie, whatever. But Yeah, and it definitely is a romantic comedy. It's hilarious. This movie is hilarious. So it's definitely got comedy. And the whole story is the guy's searching for his true love. How is that not romance?
You don't have to yell at me about it.
I'm gonna
yell. I'm not going to dispute it.
Okay. Okay.
It was on my list and I took it off because I thought it was more of like a fantasy movie.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
But it is one of my favorite movies of all time, so I'm not going to dispute it.
Well, I mentioned Andre the Giant, and I'm a big wrestling fan. And especially back then when I was 87, I was 5-6 years old. You know, I was big, you know, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Macho Man, Randy Savage. I was like all about the WWF. And so when Andre the Giant's in the movie, I'm like, heck yeah, sign me up. I'm watching this thing.
Anybody got a peanut?
Yeah. Stop rhyming. But Andre the Giant, actually, a little sad note, he was towards the end of his career. He died, I believe, 5 years after this in 93. But he had major back surgery right before the production of the movie. And he couldn't even lift anything. Like the scene where at the end where she jumps in his arms, he catches her when they jump from the castle. She's actually suspended from cables, and they just pretty much just lowered her into his arms because he couldn't support even Robin White's weight, which couldn't be any more than 100 pounds, you know, in that movie.
Wow.
And, yeah, and the scene where Wesley is on his back trying to strangle a giant. He's actually, they shot it up close. All the close scenes, the actor's actually walking on, like, stilts, so he wouldn't put any pressure on Andre's back.
And, oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and then if they show the long shot, you can see it's a body double of Andre the Giant. Now, we have the Blu-ray edition now, so you watch it, and you can clearly see it's not him, you know, from the... so that's kind of sad that, you know, but one really cool thing about this is that... Andre the Giant did an interview, and he said, "What was your favorite thing about making this movie?" And he said, without skipping a beat, he says, "Nobody looks at me." He felt treated as an equal without people staring at him just because of his height. And he built his career on being a giant, you know? So that was kind of cool. Like, these are all actors. They didn't care that he was bigger or different than them. So I like that. That was pretty sweet. Mandy Patinkin and Cary Elwes, they learned to fence with both left and right-handed. They wanted to make it look perfect, so they would spend hours and hours and hours learning fencing. So there's no, they did their own fencing stunts. That's them doing the whole thing. Rob Reiner and Mandy Patinkin both talked a little bit about Billy Crystal's performance as Miracle Max, which is the funniest part of the movie to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And Rob Reiner said he'd have to leave the set during Billy Crystal's scenes because he would laugh so hard and he'd ruin the take. And he actually would laugh so hard he almost had to throw up. He would, like, get sick. And Mandy Patinkin said he only suffered one injury and it wasn't from the fencing scenes or anything. He was laughing so hard during his scene with Billy Crystal that he bruised his own rib. And he, you can actually see him in some of the scenes holding back his laughter. And he said he had to pinch his thigh and bite his tongue and stuff to, because he couldn't handle it. And Billy Crystal, when he saw him laughing, he'd just keep going, you know, just try to get him to break. Another thing on Billy Crystal, he used his Saturday Night Live makeup artist that he would use when he was only on Saturday Night Live like 1 year, but he liked this Peter Montagna guy. And he brought him a picture of his grandmother and former baseball player Casey Stengel. And he said, "Just make me look like a cross between these two." So apparently he looks a lot like his grandmother in the movie. But, the great lines of the movie, "As You Wish," of course, is a line that's actually said seven times in the movie. Only four of them by Wesley, three actually by the grandfather narrating the story. "Inconceivable" is said.
Great.
It's actually only said five times. I would swear, watching the movie, I would tell you, oh, it's said like 20 times. He actually only says it five times. And then the most famous line is, you want to take this one, Jim?
It's not.
What's the most famous
line? Oh, I would say, my name is Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
You killed my father. prepared to die.
That's right. It is said six times. And Mandy Patinkin says he gets stopped to this day two or three times every day to people running up saying that line. And some actors like get sick of that stuff. He says it's his favorite line. He's in his favorite movie he's ever done, and so he loves it. The fact that people still come up to him to this day saying that movie over and over, saying that line.
What's your favorite part of the whole movie?
I would say the Billy Crystal part is funny with him and his wife. I also like the part in the it scared me as a little kid actually, but the part in the they go through the fire swamp,
the fire swamp,
yeah, with the rodents of unusual size.
And, yeah, the RUSs.
Yeah, the RUSs. And this is actually, this is where I was really thought quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem when I got older. Because she falls into some quicksand and he has to dive in there. I'm like, this stuff exists? Like, that freaked me out. But those are probably my two favorite parts of the movie. How about you?
I think it's probably the Battle of Wits.
Oh, yeah.
I love that part.
I'm sorry, that guy just makes you laugh. Inconceivable! And he's laughing and he dies.
Clearly, he's not picking the cup in front of me.
Yeah, he's just confusing everyone. Oh, man.
Such a great movie. Such a great movie.
The Christopher Guest plays the Count Dugan, the guy that Inigo Montoya's after, who has got the six fingers on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has six fingers on one hand and five on the other, how many fingers does he have?
11.
And Christopher Guest obviously is famous for his movie This Is Spinal Tap, which he has a scene about his amplifiers that go up to 11. And so Rob Reiner also directed that movie, and so he wanted to make that correlation. So that's basically why he wanted Christopher Guest to play that character. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
So, I never thought about that.
Yeah. So, oh man, I love this movie. It wasn't actually a big box office success. It was made for $16 million. It made 30.9, so I mean it made its money back. But it wasn't until like video rental and stuff that it became such a cult classic. And now it's like I don't think you can talk to anyone who hasn't seen it. Like everyone has seen this movie.
No, there was like a list of movies I watched when I was a kid, like Adventures in Babysitting and The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Those are like quintessential, the Goonies. Those are like movies we grew up with. That's nobody our age should never have seen The Princess Bride.
No, and it's an awesome movie. You said it in the beginning. You think it's like more of an action and fantasy movie. It is, and that's what makes it cool for boys to watch. But it's also got an awesome love story in it. And it's I don't know, it's got everything. It's one of those movies that just has everything that. And so, like, when I was homesick, I could watch that movie and, like, relate to Fred Savage listening to his grandfather read him the story. You know, it's just really cool.
That's how I feel about Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, that's the best family movie.
Which is my number two.
Right. Are you serious?
No.
Okay. That is a horseshit movie. Anyway, what number are we on?
I think my number two or your number two, one or the other.
What was your number three?
My number three was Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so now it's my number two. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, my number two, and I think I'm going to get a little backlash on this one. If I would have said to you, Jim, have you ever had deja vu?
Yes.
No, that wasn't the line. I would expect you to say, I'm not sure, but we can check with the kitchen. My number two is Groundhog Day. Now, we already talked about Groundhog Day when we did our Bill Murray episode.
Random line from Groundhog Day that you're going to throw out there.
You should know it. You're right. It was a pretty
random. I should have known it.
But we already talked about Groundhog Day when we did our Bill Murray episode. It's my favorite Bill Murray movie. And I was going back and forth, and I'm like, but this is a romantic comedy.
It is.
It is. And so, the whole story is he gets trapped, you know, the same day over and over again. And it wasn't until he finds, you know, real love in his life is when he gets out of this trap. And it's a great movie. I think it's a great romantic comedy. There's actually real quick, there's a musical version, a musical theater version they're making. They've already made, and it's going to be hitting the U.S. here this spring. So that's pretty cool. Excited to see that. Rita, the Andy McDowell's character, Rita, said she wanted to use her normal accent. She's really thick Texas accent. And Harold Ramis, who's the director, let her use it, but he said that they had to redo her lines because her accent was so thick they couldn't understand her. So that was kind of interesting. But some of the romantic parts of it. Okay, we've already talked a lot about this movie. I have, obviously. But some of the romantic... there's a scene where Phil is reading Rita. Phil being Bill Murray, Rita being Abigail, reading to her while she sleeps. And... he actually came up with this because Bill Murray did this to his wife on their wedding night because she drank too much champagne and fell asleep. And so he just started reading aloud to her until he fell asleep. And so he incorporated that in the movie, which I think is a really sweet moment. You know, they're sitting there and, you know, I don't know. It's a cute moment.
That sells it as a romantic comedy, so well done.
It does. Harold Ramis... put his wife's favorite drink is Rita's favorite drink in the movie, sweet vermouth.
Sweet vermouth with a twist.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
When Bill Murray was doing this movie, they said, Harold Ramis would try to explain to him, hey, I need you to do this in this scene, this, and Bill Murray would get frustrated. And he's like, "What? Just is it good Phil or bad Phil in this scene?" And he would just say, "Oh, it's bad Phil." And so he would just, he'd figure it out. The scene where they're throwing snowballs, the kids are throwing snowballs at him. Harold Ramis, yeah. Harold Ramis and actually Bill Murray had a bad relationship on this movie. They actually didn't talk for a while after this. And since made up, but before Harold Ramis died. But Harold Ramis told the kids, just whip the snowballs as hard as you can at Bill Murray. And Bill Murray responded by getting mad and threw him just as hard back at the kids, or if not harder. But that's a cool scene, because right before that, he makes the ice sculpture. That's another thing. He learns how to do all this. It's kind of like Yes Man, when I was talking about, like, he learns how to do all this stuff because he doesn't say no. So he's lived this day so long, he learns how to do this all this stuff. He learns how to do the ice sculpture, and he makes an ice sculpture of her face. And that was really cool. And then his funny joke is, like, now we just need to put some chocolate sauce on it and eat it. You know? But, and then a couple things about it, like, you know, the scene when they're in the diner, I don't know if you ever noticed the clocks in the diner, none of them move, they're all stand still, which is an indication that he's still trapped in the same time.
Okay.
I thought that was cool. The scene at the end, two scenes at the end, one when Bill Murray finally wakes up and he realizes, Andy McDowell's character is still there, and he's made it to tomorrow. It's the new day. They shot it over 25 times in different ways, with them under the covers, implying that they were naked or, you know, had different clothes on and stuff. And Harold Ramis actually went up to every set person in the cast and crew and said, "Well, what do you think? What should be here?" And they actually voted like, "No, no, no." Because it's a sweet movie, they're like, he was sweet, they should have the same clothes on from last night, and they shouldn't be, like, they haven't had sex yet, you know, like, they're starting their relationship. So that was kind of interesting, like, they shot that over 25 different ways to figure out what's the best way to make this a sweet, like, he's learned how to be a nice guy, you know, so.
Hmm.
Yeah, and at the end, when he's taking her, there's an end where he walks and then he lifts her up to take her over the gate instead of opening the gate when they're walking out of the house. It's because the gate wouldn't work. The gate was frozen shut. So they had to... So he just, like, screw it and he just picks her up and carries her. So that wasn't even scripted in the movie. And that's, you can see her laughing really hard in that part of the movie. So, I mean, I can go on and on about this movie because I love this movie. It's my favorite Bill Murray movie, but it's definitely a romantic comedy, and I will argue that till the day I die.
I'm not going to argue that against that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Oh, one other thing. The concept has been borrowed by other films, including 51st Dates, which is an Adam Sandler movie, and that's one of my wife's favorites. Her top five. She was telling me what her top five would be, and she loves that movie. And it's basically the same thing. I mean, she has amnesia in that and wakes up different, you know. Well, you know, if you don't know, look it up. But anyway. I need a break.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thanks. Moving on. All right.
You need a towel?
No, I'm good. I'm good. What's your number two, Jim?
Okay, my number two is debatable because I forgot our stipulation, but I don't think of this as a high school movie.
Can we just stop and say, you came up with the stipulation.
I believe your wife did.
But you talked to her about it, and you guys agreed on it.
Yes, so that is true. Okay, so right before that hour before we recorded, I was revising my list and tweaking everything, and I added this one in and took a different one out and sort of forgot about that stipulation about the high school movie because I don't think of this as a high school movie. So when we did that, we were talking about, like, Can't Hardly Wait, 10 Things I Hate About You, She's All That.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you want to go as far as to say, like, American Pie.
Right.
This one didn't cross my mind as a high school movie.
All right.
It was 2004.
Okay.
And it had Alicia Cuthbert and Timothy Oliphant in it.
Oh. I know
this Girl Next Door.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
It's a great movie, and it is definitely a romantic comedy. I just don't ever think of it as a high school movie, even though the main character, what is his name, Emil Hirsch? Is that how you say
his name? Well, that's the actor, Emil Hirsch, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of great stuff, and he's a great actor. Yeah. He is actually in high school. I just don't think of this as a high school movie.
Well, you know what? I'll agree with you. Because it obviously has very adult concepts. You know, she's a adult actress in the movie, and it's about that life a little bit. So I'll agree with you. I'll let it slide, Jim. I'm not going to say the people out there listening in podcast land, if they write to us and complain to us about it, I'm just going to let you fend those questions.
I probably won't defend it because I'm really reaching on this one. But when I think of, like, She's All That, those are, like, high school-centric movies. I just forgot that this kid is in high school. So if you haven't seen the movie, this beautiful girl moves in next door to this high school kid. This younger guy, she moves in next door, she's beautiful, he falls in love with her. Turns out she is an ex-adult film actress.
Right.
And because of their relationship and them, like, getting to know each other, she misses a shoot or something. She costs Timothy Olyphant, who's her director and producer, like $30,000. So he takes it out on, his name's Matthew, he takes it out on Matthew, and tells him if he goes and steals something from this big-time producer, he'll call it even. He doesn't call it even, and the story progresses from there. He ends up, he had raised $25,000 to bring this Cambodian student to America to study, this brilliant student. And Timothy Oliphant's character, who I think is brilliant, he's a hilarious actor, Timothy Oliphant, he steals all the money. So the movie progresses that he's trying to get the money back for the foreign exchange student to come over and study. The end of the movie makes you think that Matthew and his friends are going to film an adult movie in the library of the school, and you really think that they're going to for quite a while, mm-hmm. and then it progresses that they were actually shooting a sex ed movie to air or to distribute to all the high schools, and they made millions of dollars off of it. He got an adult film distributor to fund the movie, and they became rich off of this idea. So, yes, it is. He is in high school. I just don't see it as a high school movie, I guess.
Okay. Well, first of all, I love this movie. I really do.
It's a great movie.
I absolutely love this movie. I think it's hilarious. You're right. Timothy Oliphant is awesome in everything he does. And yeah. This one, he's hilarious. He can be a badass in this movie, and then suddenly he's really funny. And so, like, it's really good. He's almost psychotic in this movie.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Alicia Cuthbert is adorable. Emil Hirsch is great in the movie. One of his first movies, I believe. Paul Dano is in this movie, I believe. And Paul Dano has become a huge star. I will say it's a high school movie. That's what I would say. Because they're making the new sex ed movie for high school. It takes place in high school. they go to prom. I'm sorry. But they go to prom. How is that not high school?
I simply forgot. And for that reason, The Princess Bride is a fantasy movie, not a romantic film.
All right. Touche. Fine. Moving on. All right. No, I love Jim. Okay, continue on. I love this movie. What else you got about?
No, I have nothing else. That's... We should end the conversation on that movie and proceed.
Okay. Well, let's go to number one.
Let's go to everything that didn't make your list.
Oh, okay. Well, one of my favorites, and I mentioned him earlier, was Ryan Reynolds. I love that. I think he's really funny. He's awesome and everything. He's awesome in Deadpool, which is not a romantic comedy, which I guess maybe it could be. But no, it's not.
It could be.
The Proposal with him and Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm. I love this movie. I think it's hilarious. It's kind of funny. He plays an American, and Sandra Bullock plays a Canadian, and they have to get married because she's going to get deported. And she plays his boss. It's kind of funny because in real life, Sandra Bullock's the American, and Ryan Reynolds is a Canadian. But no, that's a good movie. That also has Greg T. Nelson. See, after Coach, man, that guy just went to rom-coms.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that one. Wedding Crashers. I had to leave off, like, it's a really funny way that it turns into a romantic comedy. So I was like, I didn't know how to do it. And I like that movie, but it's like two movies to me. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is one of my favorites. That was hard to leave off for me.
Yep.
What else I got here? 40-Year-Old Virgin. I think that's a romantic comedy. It's a sweet story.
Yep.
What about you?
I had a really solid list, and I had to eliminate pretty much all of them because I just felt like they didn't fit the category. They were more like a dark comedy, like High Fidelity and 500 Days of Summer and Garden State, Chasing Amy.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It could, Beautiful Girls. Have you seen that movie?
I have. Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that movie, but these were ones that were kind of borderline, I guess, and more like dark comedies with a love story, so I eliminated all of those off the list. Other ones like Ryan Reynolds and Definitely Maybe, probably the number one romantic comedy of all time, when Harry Met Sally. She's Out of My League, Failure to Launch, Serendipity, Hitch. Rumor has it actually was on my list, and I bumped it at the last minute.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Have you seen Rumor has it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that movie. I like the Graduate theme in it. That's really good. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. There was a whole string of, like, Matthew McConaughey movies, like Fool's Gold. He did, like five romantic comedies in a row.
You love romantic comedies.
I sort of do, yeah.
Wow. This is amazing.
I'm just saying. Okay. I'm a romantic.
Those are all good ones, Jim. You got more?
No. Those were all ones that I kind of jotted down and weaned off the list at some point. Fever Pitch. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Good one.
That's a funny one. They had to redo the end of that movie because the Red Sox won the World Series. They had to go back and redo the whole end because the whole thing was about how the Red Sox never win, and then they broke their curse.
Right.
Yeah.
I can relate to that. I live in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Those all almost made the list and kind of got bumped off at the last minute.
Well, those are the ones that didn't make the list. So let's go to our number one.
Okay.
All right. All right, here we go. Your turn.
Are you going? Or
no, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Excuse me. You actually mentioned this in your movies. It is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, see? There you go. Great movie.
A great movie. One of my favorite movies of all time, not just romantic comedies. I absolutely love Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Jason Segel wrote it. Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, Russell Brand. For anyone who hasn't seen this movie, I'm so sorry, and you need to watch it. Jason Segel is in a relationship with Kristen Bell. She dumps him in a very hilarious manner, and he is completely naked while she's breaking up with him, which actually happened to Jason Segel in real life, and he decided to write it into a movie.
Wow.
Which also makes this movie great because of all the full frontal male nudity. You just don't see that enough, Tom. You really don't.
Are you a fan of male full frontal nudity, Jim? Moving on. What else you got?
Jason Segel.
What about him? I'm sorry.
The movie was shot at Turtle Bay Resort and on the North Shore of Oahu. My wife and I stayed there. A few years ago, we went to a wedding there, and pretty much the entire time we were there, we were just taking pictures of filming locations
nice. Of
where they shot the movie. And our friends who got married stayed in one of the suites where they shot, like, Kristen Bell's scene with Russell Brand, like, one of the rooms where they stayed in. We took pictures of that area and, like, the area where Jonah Hill is the waiter, like, that restaurant. I took pictures of everything in that place. It was awesome.
Nice.
The puppets were actually created by Jim Henson's Creature Shop of the Dracula musical.
Mm-hmm.
Those were actually Jim Henson puppets. And Jason Segel had written a Dracula musical at one time and pitched it. pitched the idea. And... Right, and Judd Apatow told him never to tell anyone ever that he came up with this idea.
And then he puts
it. And then in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he pitches to him like, "Can we just do Dracula musical now?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, okay, we'll fit that into the movie."
It's funny also that he put the Jim Henson Muppets are in there because Jason Segel's a huge Muppets fan. And
yes. Went
on to make the new Muppets movie.
Yes, he did. He was in that. Yeah, you're right.
And it's because he's a huge fan, and he wanted to make a new movie that he liked the old Muppets movies from the 70s and 80s that he enjoyed as a kid. So it's kind of fun as a precursor to that. They had those Muppets are definitely like you'd see on the on the Muppet Show. So
yes, yeah, they really are.
Real quick. Paul Rudd, you gotta talk about Paul Rudd's character in this movie. he steals the show for me.
Paul Rudd's character, Paul Rudd himself, was actually stoned through most of the movie.
That makes so much more sense now.
It makes so much more sense. There's a lot of pain behind those eyes.
I can see it. When he sings, well, the weather outside is weather.
Do less. Now you're not doing anything at all.
Yeah. Jim, this is a great movie. Jack McBriar and him and his newlywed in the movie are hilarious.
Oh, he's great. Yep.
Jonah Hill is the waiter who's just a fan of Russell Brand in the movie.
Apparently, although it was a scripted movie, it ended up to be about 60% followed the script and about 40% was improv.
And I'm glad they did that because that made it way better.
Yes. Jason Segel also wrote all the music for the movie, including all the Infant Sorrow songs, like Inside of You. And he wrote that song with the theme thinking, what is the absolute worst song your ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend could sing to you. And that's what he came up with.
Wow. Well, he nailed it on the head there. No pun intended. Jeez.
But my favorite story about this movie, do you remember Mila Kunis' boyfriend when they're sitting on the island and this big dude comes over and they get into a fight?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So while they were writing this movie, they were living in Oahu. And Jason Segel would just be sitting on his porch, like, drinking beer with one of the other creators of the movie. And when girls walk by, he'd be like, hey, and raise their beer and talk to him. So he was hitting on this one girl, and her boyfriend ended up to be an ultimate fighter on Oahu. And every day he would just be on the beach putting mattresses around trees and beating the crap out of them.
Okay.
So one day he hit on the wrong girl, and this ultimate fighter threatened to kill him.
Uh-oh.
Flash forward, they casted him as that guy.
Oh, it's the same guy?
And they didn't realize he was that guy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So when they told Jason Segel, hey, we casted the perfect guy, he's totally scary, he sees his headshot and loses it.
Oh,
and
my
God. And he's terrified for the shooting day. And he was so scared, he realized, like, when they went to shoot it, he knew that was the guy, and that guy knew Jason Segel was who he was.
Oh, no.
But they just never talked about it, and it was really tense. They got through the scene, and he just ran off the set.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So Jason Segel could have died on this movie.
He could have died.
Wow. Oh, that's a great movie. I think I'm going to watch that one tonight.
Ah, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, man. Good stuff. What else you got on that? Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's about all I got on that.
All right.
I think Kristen Bell, her character was fired from CSI or the scene of the crime.
Yeah, it's like a CSI show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The day they started filming, she got fired from Veronica Mars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... I didn't know that. I didn't know she was fired from Veronica Mars.
Yeah, they canceled the show right when they started filming this movie.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, what else did I read about this? Nah, that's all I can remember.
Okay. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, Jim.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
All right, well, we're on to my number one now. My number one actually came out 19 years ago today, February 13th, we're recording this on.
Wow.
So 1998, stars Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. And it's an 80s movie, but not made in the 80s. It's The Wedding Singer.
Wow. Okay.
I love The Wedding Singer. We watched it. I used to watch it all the time, but then we watched it again recently, a couple days ago, and I was laughing so hard. Through the whole movie. And actually, I was talking to my wife. I said, I can't decide because Groundhog Day is my favorite Bill Murray movie. And I do love it for the romantic story of it, but also The Wedding Singer. And she said, you know what? If you're having this question, which one has better music? That's what she said. And I said, well, The Wedding Singer. She goes, there you go. There's your number one. And so it's my number one. This movie was made for $18 million. It made $123 million worldwide. It crushed it because no one thought Adam Sandler's going to make a good romantic comedy, and they crushed it out of the park. Him and Drew Barrymore. This is the first of three romantic comedies they've done. They did 51st Dates and then Blended, which I never saw Blended, but I did see 51st Dates. This opened, like I said, February 13th, 1998. Opened the number two spot for that weekend, only behind Titanic. So, it was a good movie. If there was no Titanic, it would have won the whole weekend.
Great, great romantic comedy.
Yeah, yes, yes. I love that boat. And of course, this movie's known as the 80s move, the songs, you know. I remember they released two soundtracks, Wedding Singer and Wedding Singer Volume 2, had all the songs from the movie, including... Ellen Dow, the lady who plays Rosie, the little old lady in the movie, singing her version of Rapper's Delight, which is phenomenal. They've also made a musical about this movie. It was actually nominated for some Tony Awards back in 07, or 06, I'm sorry, for Best Musical, Best Actor, and Best Score. And it was on Broadway for a couple years, and now it's, I think, touring around the country, which I would love to see that. I don't know if it's coming near me. Yeah? Excuse me. I absolutely love it. This is my favorite movie, or one of my favorite movies. I love it. It's a great story. Adam Sandler, who's such a goofball, you think of him as a goofy guy, he does an awesome job in this movie. He plays it actually pretty cool and collected, doesn't freak out. There's a few scenes he freaks out, you know, like when he normally is doing his Adam Sandler stuff. But it's a
same
great...
with Jim Carrey, like you talked about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And I think him and Drew Barrymore had such a chemistry. And like I said, they went on to make a couple more movies because they're like I talked earlier about Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn or whatever. They have such, and even I didn't even mention The Princess Bride, but Robin Wright and Cary Elwes they would flirt on set. They had such a chemistry that they actually would redo. They wanted to keep filming the last scene of that movie because they didn't want the filming to end because they enjoyed their time together so much. And I think that really does make the movie when the two people have such a great chemistry on the set. You can see it, you know, in the movie. One of my favorite parts of the movie is the guy who plays George Stitcher in Robbie's band, who was at the time Alexis Arquette, or no, it was the time Robert Arquette, and then since became Alexis Arquette, had a sex change operation, which is, he's the brother of, David Arquette and Patricia Arquette. He unfortunately died this last September, which I didn't realize. He based his whole character on Boy George from the 80s. And when he sings, "Do you really want to hurt me?" In the movie, like Robbie takes a break. Adam Sandler's character Robbie takes a break. He's like, "Oh, all right, take it away, George." And the only song he knows is "Do You Really Want to Hurt Me" by Culture Club. And so he sings it. And then Adam Sandler's character hasn't come back, and so he just tells the band just to play it again. And he has to sing it again, and the whole crowd just turns on him. He's like, "You suck," because no one wants to hear the damn song. Being the wedding singer, Adam Sandler only sings at two weddings in the movie. and only three total songs. And the first one is when, in the opening credits, he sings "You Spin Me Right Round" by Dead or Alive. And at the second wedding he's at is actually when he, after he gets dumped by his girlfriend, and he sings "Holiday" by Madonna, and then "Love Stinks" by Jay Giles Band. That's when the father of the bride beats him up and stuff. I love this movie, and one of the best scenes ever is on the plane to Vegas. Drew Barrymore and her fiance are going to fly to Vegas and elope, and Adam Sandler gets on the plane, and he's in first class because he has only a ticket left, and Billy Idol is up there with him, and he's telling him, they don't know they're on the same plane. Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler. So then he starts telling the stewardess, stewardess at the time, of course, flight attendant now, the story, like, "Oh, you know, this is, I'm going to find her and I'm going to tell her I love her." And suddenly the whole first class gathers around him, including Billy Idol. And then Billy Idol just has this like moment. He's like, "Well, you know, this guy doesn't deserve her," you know, talking about her boyfriend. He's like, he all he cares about is possessions. He doesn't fancy cars. He doesn't deserve her. Adam Sandler just goes, "Yeah, I mean, Billy Idol gets it. How come she doesn't get it?" You know. And of course, the best movie that every girl loves and is an awesome moment is when he grabs Billy Idol's guitar and then he sings the song he's been writing through the movie, over the intercom on the plane, and then she finds out he's on the plane, and then they get together and they get married at the end. But it's the best movie. It's got one of the best soundtracks in the world. Jim, you know my love for the 80s, so of course I gotta have this movie on here. But it's best. It's got Steve Buscemi in it, which people forget he's the drunken brother in the beginning. And he ends up being the new wedding singer at Adam Sandler's wedding at the end. So.
Yeah, I mean, it encompassed your love for the 80s without actually having...
Like, well, I got to, you know, figure out how's this guy do it, you know? So, but I never learned to play guitar, so it never worked out for me.
Yeah, well, when that came out, I mean, you had to see anything Adam Sandler did.
Oh, yeah.
He had just done Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore and probably a couple other ones. You had to see anything he did.
I agree. And he didn't disappoint. Like, I think he was panned by critics a little bit. Like, it's not the Adam Sandler. The thing is, the critics didn't like Adam Sandler anyway. You know, they didn't like his movies because they're goofy. And then he comes out and does something different. And they didn't like it because it wasn't what he normally does. So, but...
Did you see Punch Drunk Love?
I did see Punch Drunk Love. That's a great movie.
I love that movie, and that is like the opposite of anything Adam Sandler has ever done or ever will do again.
You're right. I don't think... yeah, he hasn't done anything. The only one he's done that's a little dramatic is Funny People.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. But other than that, like, that's like the only two. The rest has got... comedy, you know, now he just does movies with his friends. You know, grown-ups too. Now he's just, like, in bed with Netflix, and everything he does comes out on Netflix now, which is fine, because I have Netflix, so I get to watch it.
He did that one terrible movie, though.
Oh, they're not good. No, they're not good. Oh, Jim, this was fun. Now I just feel like we need to, we need to sit down and,
cuddle?
Cuddle.
Cuddle and
share a thing of popcorn. Do you have that moment where you both reach into the bucket of popcorn and you actually touch hands?
Well, we're both reaching for the thin mints that we mix in with the popcorn.
I would pour M&Ms in it.
Oh, yeah, well.
Not your thing, apparently. All right. Oh, my God. Okay. This has been rough.
What, have you seen any movies, any actual other movies lately? What else have you watched?
Again, I always go back to kid movies. We watched one about a koala bear in Australia.
Uh-huh.
Something Billy.
Sure.
Yeah. No, there was something we watched. Sure. Oh, I saw the sequel to Independence Day. We ran to
that. Oh, how was that?
Yeah, actually, I liked it. I love the original Independence Day. And it's a good movie. It is what it is. It wasn't, you know, it was fine. I liked it. We enjoyed it. It was a fun movie. Okay. Just have some ice cream and watch the movie and go to bed, kind of thing. How about you?
We watched The Accountant.
Oh yeah.
Also has Anne Kendrick, who I adore. That's a great movie, actually. By the way, really, really good movie. A little bit deeper than you think it would be. Ben Affleck, great movie. And we also just watched, was it 99 Homes, I think is what it's called.
I don't know that one.
It's on Amazon Prime right now, 99 Homes. It's about the stock market crash, the housing market, stock market in 08, and how this guy was buying up foreclosed homes and evicting people from their homes. It's really intense, but it's a really, really good movie. If you have Amazon Prime, check it out.
I do have Amazon Prime.
You should definitely watch
it. And I have Amazon Prime because you sold me on it. You kept saying you should get it. I got it.
or was it because you tried the 30-day trial and just forgot?
That's exactly why I have it. And that was the fight I had with my wife. I'm like, no, now we just paid $100. I'm like, yeah, we did. Sorry. So...
guess we'll buy all our groceries on Amazon.
And we have been buying stuff on Amazon, yeah. So, oh, Jim, this has been fun. Where can people hear us and talk to us? Let's tell them again. Where we can find us on the Face Space, right?
Yeah, the Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Gmail. You can listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher and Podbean and Podcast Republic and pretty much anywhere where you listen to a podcast.
Yeah. We're out there, Jim. We're out there.
We are out there, yeah.
Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks, and I don't even think we talked about Jim, but I already decided what we're doing.
What are we doing? Because I really don't know what we're doing.
Okay, we did talk about it before, but we are going to do our top five Nickelodeon shows.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
Or should we do top five Nickelodeon game shows?
I think it doesn't matter. I think anything that aired on Nickelodeon.
I agree.
It could be Nick Arcade or it could be Ren and Stimpy. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Guts, maybe?
Don't give it away. Anything. Don't give it away.
I don't want to ruin anything.
Well, that's what we're going to be. We'll be back in a couple weeks, and we'll be doing that one. And we have heard you. People who want us to do one every week, we talked about it. We'll talk some more about it. How's that sound?
Good deal.
All right. Well, I am Tom.
That's the really awkward part of the show where we try to end it.
Yeah, I'm Tom, if you haven't noticed, and you are.
Jim,
I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes.
As you wish.
Damn, you're good. All right. See you later.